we will make copies of this, but not going to unless somebody really wants them and will study them. These here are notes that I have not preached. I have not preached these notes. I made these notes started in February of 1988, and I preached them through March 88. But I never did preach them here on a regular basis. But if you have your Bibles in the book of Revelation, the source of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, notice something very important here in verse 1. He said, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. People say, I don't understand the book of Revelation. I can't understand the book of Revelation. I've shared with you that we had a member that told me one night going out, she said, I don't understand a thing you're saying, but I believe that you believe it. Well, I believe everything I preach or won't preach it. But what I'm saying here to show you why lost people, certain Christians that are not dedicated to the word and study, God tells us why the book of Revelation doesn't make any sense to them. Because, is to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What do you see in verse 3? God said you don't have to understand it to be blessed. He said, blessed is he that readeth. To be blessed, all you got to do is read the book of Revelation. And of the testimony, And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. See, there's a lot of things in the Bible, more things in the Bible I don't understand than there is that I do. But God said, I'll bless you if you just read it. And I believe God will exactly do that. So God is, the Father is the source, according to verse 1. And the avenue of communication was an angel. And if we look in Revelation 19, for just a second here, we see in 19 and verse 10, God said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Over in chapter 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels which showed me these things. Now, then said he unto me in verse 9, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. It was sent, it was signified, And that meant it was communicated by means of signs. Revelation is a book of symbols. It's a book of symbols. Verse 2, John the Beloved is the human writer who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ into all things. So John was the human writer of the book of Revelations, because he who bore record of the word identifies himself. And John had been exiled on to Patmos, on the Isle of Patmos, probably about AD 95, and this is not accurate 100%, but the one who sent him there died September the 18th, 96. And this is just my view. I believe that when you take a man of God like John was, and to get rid of John, they sent him to an isle, an island, isolation. You think about now when a man goes to prison, they put him in isolation. You know, you say, well, that's better than out on the chain gang, but being by yourself 24/7 will soon destroy you. But see, Jesus used that. The ruler sent him to the island for punishment, but God used him while he was on the Isle of Patmos to record the book of Revelation. And I think it's a great teaching there. Don't think because you're situation is not what you want it to be, not what it could be, not what you hoped it'd be, you know. But God uses who he knows will be used. In verse 3, you know, the promised blessing to the reader, the hearer and the keeper of all contained in the prophecy. You know, verse 3 is so important. It's, you know, when he said, blessed is he that readeth. That's one blessing. And they that hear the word of this prophecy. And thirdly, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, let's look at that last part of verse 3. He said, he that readeth, heareth, and keepeth those things which are written therein. So, whether you just want to read it, or hear somebody read it, or hear somebody teach it, or you want to try to practice, put in your life what you will learn in this book, you know, keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. It's the same then as it is any other day. It's difficult causes many to turn away from it, you know. I talk to people that their wife came down, or their son or daughter came down with some uncurable disease. And they've told me, well, you know, this God that I serve, he, you know, if he was real, he wouldn't do that. But sometimes we Christians have more problems than the lost. Because certainly we all want to be blessed. But the salutation beginning in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. That tells us what? Jesus. God had no beginning, no end. He's always there. Jesus is saying, this is where this came from. So the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, he tells us that he addressed to the seven churches in verse 4 and 5. In verse 5 he said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the things of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. No more than the first five verses tells us this book of Revelation was written to save people. It is to warn us. It's to encourage us. But, if you're not saved and know how you were saved, this doesn't make a lick of sense. And just, well, I've read and read it, but you sometimes there are books like, that you can take and just read the Psalms, you can read them, Proverbs, you can read it, and you'll be blessed just by reading them. But there's books like Ephesians and Romans and Galatians, Proverbs, part of Proverbs, especially the Revelation. You can't just read it. You got to study it. So, these things to the seven churches, God always, and you'll see if you've read ahead of it, he starts here telling who these churches are. Seven different church ages, seven different churches, and in 2021, we got a little bit of all seven of those churches in most of our churches. And the last one is the Nicolaitans, which is worldliness, compromise. And God said, these churches, seven churches, they were literal. They represent all the churches at any given time of history. Problems Ammon Road Baptist Church has, they had it in the first church. And we think sometimes we get discouraged. Isn't there more than this? Why are we being, people being saved? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Well, we live and die by the choices that we make. And it's the same thing. You are to pick a bride, you are to pick a groom, or you pick a husband, you pick a wife, you pick a church. These are things you don't just got a barrel full of names and you pick one out. Because God has got that husband for you, God's got that wife for you, and God's got that church for you. But see, our problem today, there's so many sound churches when those churches are by themselves. Now, does anybody know what I'm talking about when I make that statement? Grace Baptist in Frankfort. New Providence in Paris. Just two that y'all wouldn't know of. Both of them took disciplined church members. So, therefore, we can't take any members from them. We won't grant any letter to them because he wrote, as he said here, he addressed it to the seven churches. And churches were literal. They represent all churches at all given time of history. The church is a family that's going to make up the bride and is already making up the kingdom. I may not agree how the Hampton family works, but it's none of my business. It's none of my business. I mean, far as say, I have no right to go to the head of that home and say, hey, you should be doing it this way. God gave a head to that home. Every home has a head. Every church has a head. Now, the salutation is from the entire Godhead. Notice verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, a lot of people just skip over chapter 1 by just reading it, and you can be blessed by doing that. But if you read verse 5 carefully, it's from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. First begotten of the dead, the Prince of King of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Anything that we do that does not glorify his name should not be done. And that's the same thing in our home. Anything in my home that I do that is will not glorify God, I should not do it. Now, it don't make me lost if I do it, but it's, all of us, you know, if you don't watch how you handle certain things, it's your business how you handle it, but if it's not handled correctly, you're going to pay for it, you know. It's just the way it is. And, you know, and somebody called me yesterday. I hadn't thought about the Financial Freedom Seminar for years, because I haven't taught it for years. But that pastor said, we're living in the last days, Brother Vance. Our people don't know how to finance their home. Will you consider coming and teaching the financial freedom? Well, why would he say that? Because it's going to get harder and harder and harder, you know. And with the revelations, it getting closer and closer and closer to his coming. I mean, you know, and I'd like to skip over the 4 or 5 chapters, because when I get into what is taking place now, but the Holy Spirit, the 7 spirits, the 7 signifies completeness. 7, complete. 7 churches will show us the church age from the beginning to the rapture. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Humanity, first begotten of the dead, intercession. Prince of kings, second coming, or kingship. Christ is the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. Now, we go back to verse 5, and we see that praises to him for redemption. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his blood. How important is Jesus? We are not saved because we repented. We're not saved because we believed. We wouldn't have repented. We wouldn't have believed. We wouldn't change our lifestyle if it hadn't been from him. And that's why that he says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Who was the first one? You know, we are priests and kings. Revelation is a record how God will bring this to completion. That's what verse 6 is. And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It bothers me terribly when I hear a Christian says, I'm not worth nothing because I can't do anything. I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't witness, you know, I can't. Look what God said. He have made us. Who is the us? He has made us kings and princes unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. See, we want everybody to accept us, right? We want everybody to like us. But the important thing, what am I in the eyes of God? What am I in the eyes of God? You know, the trumming of Christ is visible, is power and glory. Notice verse 7. Behold, he trumpeth with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Remember, who's he talking to? He ain't talking to the general public. Revelation can only be applied to saved people. Saved people. And God is going to rapture his people before the wrath of God comes down. Now, he is coming. Every eye shall see him visibly, but not at the rapture. But every eye will see him. They who were offered salvation but refused, they will then wail, but it will be too late. You know, we look at our health sometimes and we're feeling good, but we're not taking average of what are we doing, you know, and we run up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. And because we've done something 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 20 years even, you know, it payday someday. It's the same way with our mental state, physical state, and spiritual state. Remember, we have body, soul, and spirit. And if you get the soul right, guided by the spirit, the body will take care of itself. Don't mean you ain't going to be sick. Don't mean you ain't going to have some problems. See, we want a world where there's no problems, and it just isn't there yet. But in verse 8, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there in the beginning, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he said it's good. Do you remember that in Genesis? He said it's good. Nobody argued with him. Nobody said a word. He said it's good. Now, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. He is. Any instrument the Savior has either been there or hidden there. God says, at verse, you know, 9, one hires this to be true. It's Alpha and Omega. Beginning and end. If we look at Colossians 1, 16 and 17 and Colossians 2, 9, you will see that. And so, you know, we can take the time and we can go to every scripture and read it, or you can take notes if you're really interested in learning. But God said in Colossians 1, 16, he said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And what? And for him. You know, we hear all this silliness, you know, I deserve this. You don't deserve anything. Everything you have, God gave it to you. But we have to understand exactly what he's talking about here when he said, you know, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible. They be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him, and they were created for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Before the earth, he was. Because when he created the earth, it was void. There was nothing there. And when he created the earth out of nothing, he said it was good. Nobody said a word, just there wasn't nobody there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, while you're there, he said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. So who is Jesus? We want to bring Jesus down to our level. If you read this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. When he took on flesh, he didn't cease to be God. When he took on flesh, he didn't cease to be the Spirit. And people say, well, I have a hard time believing something like that because I don't understand it. I don't understand error, but I sure like it. You know, it isn't the point of whether we understand it or not. It's understanding whether you've been born again, and if you're born again, then you experience that. John chapter 5 and verse 26, God said, for as the Father have life in himself, so he have given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, who gave me life? Who gave you life? He said, well, I was born of my mother. God gave you life. And he gave you life when that egg and that sperm met. Not when that baby's born. So, Jay used to tell everybody, the door and I would laugh, you know. They'd ask her, said, how old are you, Jay? And if it was her birthday, she would say, 7 years old and 9 months. She said that up until she was 12 or 13 years old. And she's exactly right. Because I was as much alive the moment that egg and sperm united as I am now. Now, see, if you believe that, abortion becomes terrible. Abortion becomes something you don't even want to think about. Okay, now in verse 9, and we'll speed up and won't take everything like this, but I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see why he was there. See, sometimes God permits the world to treat us bad to get us where we need to be. You know, I would have never seen myself the way I really was. But 41 days in the Central Baptist Hospital changed my way of thinking. And that's what, things don't just happen. They happen for a reason. And if we would just grasp that and say, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Well, you know, to prepare us for something down the road that may destroy us if we had not prepared ourselves. And it's preparing us for something that is wonderful and we would probably not keep it, not work for it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of reasons. But John the writer, who is our brother, every man, woman, boy, and girl that is saved, actually saved, is my brother and sister. I don't care whether he's white, black, yellow, red. If they're saved. All believers have tribulation. So when a person tells me, and somebody may have told you over the years, I never had no problems, you know. I serve the Lord, you know. He blesses me. I serve him. Man, it's no way. It's just impossible. I mean, you know, Job was the man that I would want to be. And what did God do? Let's see if Job is real. Sometimes God will send tribulation your way just to let you see that. You know, I don't know how he does it all the time, but I know one thing, that all believers have tribulation, and the kingdom means the rule of God. And think about that. When you were saved, when Nela was saved, instantaneously, she became a member or associated with God's kingdom. She was baptized into his family. You know, people have such a hard difference. What's the difference between the church, the family, and the kingdom? Everybody's saved is in the kingdom. Everybody's saved is in the family. But not everybody saved is in the church. And the bride is going to come out of the church. That's very important, and I put a little emphasis on it now, and as we get later in this book, you'll see it. God rules in the believer's life. All you got to ask yourself, am I in God's will? How can I tell if I'm in God's will? Well, God said all believers have tribulation. Kingdom means the rule of God. So God rules in believers' life, and we must be patient to his coming. And you know what worketh patience? Tribulation. Because when something happens to me, I don't like, I try very hard for it not to happen again. And God will send tribulation to you to prepare you for something that looks like what you're going through now. That's nothing. It's called growth. It's called growth. So the voice of the vision, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Why would he say this? Because to serve God, you're going to have tribulation. Because not everybody is going to feel like you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. And sometimes those who you think are the closest will disagree with you. It's just the way it is. He said here in verse 9, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is this? This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was put on the Isle of Patmos as punishment, but God used him while he was there to write this book of Revelation. And he's seen things that you and I have never seen. And he wrote them down. So we need to understand that. John's tribulation is the moment exile. When his tribulation started, he was exiled to Patmos. We see in verses 10 through 16, he was in the spirit, hence out of human consciousness to where the spiritual things are heard. He was in the spirit. You ever been in the spirit? When you were saved, did the Spirit of God speak to you? Did you just hear that and nothing else? I'm telling you, every child of God has been in the spirit. They heard God speak and nobody around them did. When God came up to that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, and no other Lazarus in the country heard him. He was in the grave, yet he was in the spirit. John was in the spirit on the isle, but yet he heard God. The vision of the Lord's day. He was in the spirit, out of human consciousness to where spiritual things are heard. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God says here, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless in glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. When God speaks to a man, I believe the day that God called me to preach, I heard a voice that nobody in that house heard. Nobody at IBM heard. And I believe that when God is impressing something upon your heart, you hear it. I mean, you hear it. It's not an audible verse, but you hear it. It was on the first day of the week. The trumpet reminds us of Mount Sinai. You see Exodus 19:16, Exodus 20:18, and verse 10, tells us. But, you read those, because he said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I don't think nobody else that was with him would have heard that trumpet. Nobody. I believe that when God speaks to us, when God speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, and nobody else hears it, but you hear it. In verse 11, it says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and was, thou seest, write in the book. What thou seest, write in the book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Samaria and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Send it to all these seven churches. In other words, every church that the Lord starts, he speaks to. So we know, once we show you how these churches are seven typical churches, some of them was more aggressive, some was slack, but God spoke to all of them. And when you have a church that is teaching contrary to the word of God, you may get mad at me. People may get mad at me. They're not a church. They're not a church. When they say that this female, she gets up and God said, God has called me to prophesy and the church okays it, it's not a church. Because God told him to speak to these seven churches, seven literal churches. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Didn't have no trouble hearing it. When God convicted you that you were lost, if God convicted you that you needed baptism, and you realize that when you got it the first time, you weren't sure you were saved, and he spoke to you again, you heard that. I worry about those people who say, I was talking to my friend, and my friend had the same experience, and so I must have been, what happened to me. No. You're going to get in trouble every time. When God deals with Caitlin, God deals with Caitlin. God won't tell her husband something to tell his wife. They may share things, but God teaches us individually through the Word, through the Spirit. And just like in school. See, I was never that aggressive one, you know. It was always 3 or 4. That's what I tell everybody that goes to college. Find a friend that's smarter than you. I didn't have no problem in that for most of them were. But you know, I want to find somebody that's smarter than me. Because he's going to speak to me. And he's going to speak to you. So we see the trumpet reminds us of Mount Zion on the first day of the week, the trumpet. The seven churches are named, as we read here in verse 11. Seven golden candlesticks, Jewish terminology. This shows us the book is written in symbols. Notice verse 12. And I turned to see the voice and spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks. Jesus Christ in the midst. We see that. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks are like unto the sons of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about paps and with golden girdle. Now notice we see also in verse 14 the two descriptive terms. Hair and eyes. The white hair, symbol for the Ancient of Days. The flaming eyes show his deity, according to Jeremiah 17:10. He was the omniscient one, the omnipotent. His head and his hair were like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, when we look at these two descriptive terms of his hair and his eyes, the white hair is a symbol of the Ancient of Days, flaming eyes of a deity, according to Jeremiah 17:10. The two descriptive terms in verse 15, as we read, his feet like fine brass, and they burn in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. These two descriptive terms, feet and voice. Feet of brass is associated with judgment. We read Isaiah 63:3. I taught this in one church on a Thursday night, and we had a Bible study, and we was reading and said, Neil, would you read that? What are you saying? Tracy, read that. What are you saying? Now, you know, people say, well, you're pushing. Am I? You ladies, when you teach Sunday school, you speak out, don't you? I mean, how do you teach Sunday school? It is when we have a Bible study. And remember when the youth, young people had Bible studies? Everybody participated. That's how you learn. God said that the hair and the eyes, white hair, symbol, Ancient Days, flaming eyes, so the deity, according to Jeremiah 17:10. The two descriptive terms of verse 15, the two feet and voice, feet of brass associated with judgment, Isaiah 63:3, and voice as many waters, shows the fear and awe in the people who face him. Then look at verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. You don't have to speak out, but who are the seven stars? Are they deacons? Pastors? Sunday school teachers? What about pastors? We see here the seven golden candlesticks. Jewish terminology which shows us the book is written in symbols. The two descriptive terms in verse 15, feet and voice. Feet is Bryce, the judgment. Voice is many waters, fear and awe in the people who face them. The descriptive terms in verse 16. And he said in his, and he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, as did, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Well, the descriptive terms of 16, the right hand is a symbol of power found in Exodus 15:6. The two-edged sword is a symbol of the word of God in Ephesians 6:17 and Hebrews 4:12. And the shining countenance shows Christ as the light giver. A Christian who is saved, a church that is on fire, has some light in it. Light. We can see what God has done. We see what God has done. The effects of the vision upon John in verses 17 and 18, his falling down reminds us of Daniel 10:7-10. Then verse 17, here Christ's name declares his great victory over death and hell as he did in verse 10. But the command to write verse 19, you know, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlestick. Look at here. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, which are what? Pastors. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Seven candlesticks with thy swords are the seven churches. The command to write. What is it to write? It's the content of the book that is before us. And Christ explains that first symbol he used in verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars with thy swords in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Each church has a pastor. Christ explains that verse. Stars are the angels. It seems each church has a protective angel. For your notes, if you want to write, look at Daniel 10:21 and Daniel 10:20, Matthew 18:10, and Acts 12:15. Now, the candlesticks represent the churches. Christians are what? Christians are lights. If you've got saved people in a church, that church is lit up. You can feel it when you come in. I'm not talking about physical lights. We can see, but if the members are dead, if the members are, you know, whatever, candlesticks represent the churches and Christians are lights, according to Matthew 5:14, Philippians 2:15. Collectively, they shine brighter. They are to be collected in the Lord's churches. This is Chapter 1. I'll be glad to anybody that wants a copy of these notes as I study them and chop them out. You can have them. But if you're not going to study them, because I don't have no problem myself. I mean, it's left up to read every one of the scriptures. Unless you turn in your Bibles and follow me and see how we get it. You know, there's one member that we have that he has a problem with these stars. I said, well, prove me wrong. Because when I say, if I'm wrong, I want to be right. I don't care if it's my daughter, my wife, one of y'all, somebody out on the street. This gentleman I'm going to spend some time with that's sent me about 100 pages just proved to me that I'm going through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And the scriptures that he used, I'll spend my time showing they don't teach. If you want to know what a scripture teaches, there'll be a scripture to teach that scripture. Not pull that scripture out of context. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.